Welcome back to another Daily Walk. Well, today I want to spend a little bit of time talking about different church denominations and the idea of denominations and what makes the best one and what makes all of these denominations occur. Now, to talk about this, first and foremost, I visit different churches because I live on the road full time, and so I don't have one specific place that I go to for church every single Sunday. And some people would say, well, that completely goes against how we're supposed to believe in church. I'm not even completely sure that's true. There's so much nuance here. I think that the church is supposed to be established so that a believer in that town has a place to go. Now, whether or not we have to sign commitment cards to believe exactly as they believe, that's where I kind of depart a little bit and say, I'm just not quite sure about that. Of course, some people go as far as to say that the concept of the church is not in the Bible at all, and I completely disagree with that. Just on the basis, just do a quick word search in any given translation, the word church shows up, you know, dozens and dozens of times from the Gospels where Jesus is talking about, on you I will build my church. And if a person is unrepentant, you go and take it to the church. Of course, we have all of Acts is about the building of the church. We're having agreements and disagreements and what it means to worship together. Of course, this word church in the Greek is the ecclesia. And that is pretty much the word that is universally used throughout, which on its surface just means a gathering and an assembly. In other words, an assembly and a gathering of people who believe in Christ. And there is a lot to be said about it. In fact, the theological term for the study of church doctrine is ecclesiology, from that specific word. And so the difference is that denominations have different ideas of ecclesiology. And stick around to the end of the video. I'll tell you what I think makes the best overall church from a denominational perspective here. But as I travel around, I visit a number of different churches. This last week, I was at a Presbyterian church. Now, the Presbyterian church, I tend to agree with their doctrines more than nearly every other church, save for two specific ones. I do not find covenantal theology in the scriptures, and their way of organizing churches is this top-down approach, kind of like the Catholic Church, where you have a series of layers of leadership. Now, in some cases, this resists a lot of error coming into the church, but in other cases, it purifies error in the church. And as I was talking to an elder in the Presbyterian Church, one of the side denominations of the Presbyterian Church, we should say, he said, well, this is the best model because it keeps the doctrine pure because you have this grouping of people. Well, the problem is that the Presbyterian Church already has a conservative branch and a liberal branch. And the liberal branch, I was at a Presbyterian church where a friend of mine's dad used to be the pastor there. So I went there because he was in town. He's lives in a different country now. He was in town, and I go into church, and here in this church, they're doing this Muppet show with Miss Piggy telling me to put on my mask and get vaccinated. Definitely not stuff that we need to find inside of the church. Of course, other groups in the more liberal view of the Presbyterian church will ordinate women, despite the scriptures very clearly states the role of a pastor and an elder is a man, specifically of the male office, for very good reasons, because man is the head over the family, and man is the head over the church. So we can have different disagreements, and that's what led to the split of the PCA into the different groups. But there's even another group that split off from the conservative branch, saying even they're not as conservative enough. Now, I don't know which one of those two branches the vaccinated Miss Piggy came from. I'm not sure if that was more of the liberal or more of the conservative branch. I have no idea. But the reality is that regardless, there are other groups that split off from those specifically because the conservative branch of the PCA was not conservative enough. So clearly having this top-down structure did not purify all the doctrine. It caused a split. The same thing happened, of course, there were some Methodist churches. I know some friends that are have some high-up positions in the Methodist churches as well. They also have this top-down structure. They have bishops and all these different areas. And of course, the more recent split over homosexuality in the pastoralship happened because one of the bishops had a son who was a pastor who then came out as gay, and he had to decide, am I going to side with the scriptures and the doctrines and affirm that you have to be be a straight person in order to be a pastor, or am I going to accept my family and effectively pervert what the scriptures say for the case of family unity? And they chose to keep the family unity, which caused another split inside of the Methodist churches. And so we see these structures, this a big bodying organization is not the sign of purity inside of the church. Of course, Southern Baptist takes more of a mid-type approach. There is an overarching governing body, but they have all sorts of weird lunacies in there. Rick Warren was in there for a while. I found out after he was booted out of it that Steve Furtick was part of the Southern Baptist. Really? How was Steve Furtick part of the Southern Baptist for almost 20 years before they finally booted him out? Because he's never been solid or Baptist or anything sane, actually, which is very interesting. But you look at the different church denominations, some of them are much more congregation-led. Now, among the congregation-led, I like the congregation, I don't like the congregational-led model. I think that the church should be led by a pastor and or a board of elders, because the elders are the people that are supposed to have been more thoroughly tested in their understanding of the scripture. And we don't need the sound pastor saying we're going to go in this direction, but the congregation who are not trained in the in-depth things of the scripture outvotes him and moves a different direction. So I don't like the congregational view, which is what we find in a lot of the Baptist churches. Now, some of them are more independent. Some of them have a little bit of a top-down structure. Some of the Baptist groups, they have a little bit of a top-down support, but not a ton. You know, they pay up into the overarching mission funds, and that's all good. And that's the advantage of having big church networks, is that you can get a lot more done. Large churches can have a lot more impact on their city around them than a small church that struggles to meet their basic expenses. I completely understand all of that. But that being said, when it comes down to looking at how the church models work, I don't like any one given church ecclesiology. And this is really where the whole idea of denominationalism came from. It came from the American experiment of freedom of worship. Prior to that, of course, you had Catholicism, which we now is Roman Catholicism, was at one point in time just the church, the central church, with one small split off, which was the Orthodox. So we had the Orthodox and the Catholic. And then somewhere around the 1500s, Luther comes out, makes his arguments, and now we see another split where we have the Lutherans come off. And of course, the King of England gets mad at the Catholics in Rome and splits off and produces Anglicanism. But what you can see is a lot of these different denominations at that time were more rooted around countries and country worship rather than individual interpretation of the scriptures. It wasn't until the American experiment that we started getting all these different denominations. And the strength of the denominations is it allowed us to look at a lot of different principles that were a lot more sound in the scripture and debate things more freely, something you couldn't disagree with the Anglican Church on something. So it allowed us to have these, but at the same time, it also caused a little bit of a negative in that, well, more cults showed up out of this. We also had a lot more rigid control over some denominations. And then we did have what I consider some of the best churches are the non-denominational churches. That is what I think is the best move going forward. If you're looking for a church, if you're already in a church and it's Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or wherever else you go, if as long as you're hearing the gospel and they're opening up the scriptures and you're digging regularly into the word, stay there. Stay wherever you can have that impact and where you can get that. But if you're like, okay, I'm looking for a church or I'm frustrated, I need to leave and find another one, look for a non-denominational church. I think that this is what the model of the church is supposed to be. Individual sleeper cells, individually controlled. Because if one church goes crazy and becomes a cult, the people who are sound in scripture are going to recognize that and leave and go to the other churches. And the church should, in theory, collapse upon itself. Unfortunately, one of the things in America is if you're really good at marketing, you can cause a cult to grow, and that can be problematic as well. The overarching principle, though, is that as we look at denominationalism, I like the non-denominational churches far better because we can debate some of the principles about how we do church more frequently. Whereas I go into a Presbyterian church, and while I tend to agree with almost all of their doctrines, I just cannot agree with a lot of their ecclesiology, nor do I find covenantal baptism in the scriptures. Not that I would disfellowship over either of those principles at all. Presbyterian, for the most part, is very solid, very sound denomination. I just can't see how they do their church structure as thoroughly as others. But I also am not a huge fan of the Baptist or the Methodist or other things. If you're looking for one central denomination I've seen that seems to be one of the better ones, it's actually Calvary Fellowship, Calvary Chapel, which was curiously an offshoot of the more charismatic roots of the Pentecostals, which I certainly would not agree with those, like the Assemblies of the Pentecostals. I don't think a lot of those guys are kind of nuts, but the Calvary kind of stepped aside and said, hey, we're going to step aside and we're not going to completely discount any miraculous things or visions or prophecies as independent fundamental Baptists do, for example, but we're not going to seek them as the charismatics do. We're going to allow and accept for it as long as our service stays clean and organized, as Corinthians suggests it should, as long as we can open up our scriptures and debate different principles. And that is one of the things that I've seen inside of them. But for the most part, the most sound churches, in my opinion, are non-denominational, because we don't get caught up in the man-made rules about how we do church as part of the worshiping of God itself. And as I look back at the best churches I've been in overall in my 3 years living on the road, every one of them has been mostly non-denominational churches, with a couple Calvary Fellowships, Calvary Chapels thrown in there as well. Obviously, I'm not a shill for them. I still can't even get their name right. That is certainly something to keep in mind, that and this is another reason why, if somebody becomes saved, like if I am talking to somebody and they become a believer, I do not tell people go off and join a church right away. I want you to get a solid foundation in your scriptures first, because a solid foundation in your scriptures is going to be able to point out what is a good and not a good church in our modern era. So that is just some ramblings on denominationalism. Let me know your thoughts, your favorite denominations, which ones of you have the most horror stories from. Let me know all that kind of fun stuff in the comments, and we'll see if we can't have some form of civil debate going on down there. With that, thanks for watching, and hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.